صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله for all his blessings and for all his bounties. And thanks to Allah for providing us this opportunity to have a discussion around the Battle of Karbala, around the concept of war against Batil fought by Imam Hussein at Karbala. We focus on the comparison between the two armies, but for the qualities of these two armies and how they could develop these qualities, especially as it was our emphasis that they were not innocent, they were not angels or heavenly beings from the beginning, they were normal people living their life. But all of a sudden something happened. They took the right decisions, they took the right steps, they moved towards a certain path, and then they got enlightenment by Imam Hussein. As Imam Hussein was titled from the Holy Prophet as Imam Hussein Misbah al-Huda, Safinat al-Najat. So it was a beautiful manifestation of that tradition of the Holy Prophet, the Battle of Karbala, where people like Zuhair bin Qayn, who were initially not very much interested in going towards Karbala, and all of a sudden they started showing the highest attributes one could get from a lot of attributes of Allah, and their reflections were going on. And then we have this example for the whole humanity, how they could change themselves, where they should lead their life to. And as we discussed it more, we could concentrate on the objective of humanity. We said it is qurbatan in Allah, and the meaning of qurba will not be a distance to cover, but qurba and closeness in attributes of Allah. We should try our best to reflect one of the attributes of Allah at least, and then a blessing will come. Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amsalha. If we try for one of the attributes, blessing of Allah will come and will reward us with 10 of His attributes, as the verses of the Holy Quran says. And more you try to develop yourself, more you will get the blessings, more you will get the reflection. And whatever those worldly objectives were for those people who have ignored this message of Allah, you will get all those objectives easily and much more better than those. Because in this material world, every pain has a pleasure and every pleasure has a pain. So if they go and if they follow the pleasure of this worldly life, they have a lot of pain to face. But if you follow those pleasures which were explained by Allah, then there is no pain in it. Just look at the higher objectives, make rational decisions, and you are on the way. And the final thing which we discussed yesterday, that all these can be achieved through control. You need to control yourself. And simple, small steps in the right direction are much better than moving faster in the wrong direction. So just closely watch your life. Your small steps, your small decisions can change your life right from the beginning, right from the morning. You can observe yourself and you can have an eye on your character, your decisions. Control yourself, always ask yourself what will be good for me to do. And I might have mentioned that there was a guy who converted to Islam and he was following Imam Hussein. And someone asked him how you can follow Imam Hussein after 1400 years, and he said, this is very easy for me. whenever I'm in front of a position where I have to choose between two or three things, I always think, what were the selections of Imam Hussein if he was in that position? So if you have three options to choose one of them, then you will think, what Imam Hussein could have chosen if he was here? Then he said, I tried this thing, and more I tried this thing, more I went towards Imam Hussein, and I got a reflection from him. Now, though I cannot come very closer to him, but at least I can say that I am moving towards his path, because I am doing what Imam Hussein could have done in such a moment, such a position. Then, with this control, you can change your life, and if you go ahead with this control, slowly and gradually you should see the change in your own self. Though at the Battle of Karbala, everything happened very, very quickly. They came to Karbala on 2nd of Muharram, and they were forced to migrate from Karbala on 11th. So they just stayed there for 8 days, and during those 8 days, everything happened, which lasted for so many years, 1400 years from now. But the distance they covered in 8 days, we may cover in our life. So, moving towards the right decision and applying your control, it can change, it can bring the change. Now, the last thing which we discussed yesterday, that one of the greatest hurdles in this way, in this path, is fear. Fear of death, fear of losing something, fear of career. And we said death is nothing but a bridge, as Imam Hussain said. Mal maut illa qantara, he said, death is nothing but a bridge. You just cross the bridge and you are on in another life, hereafter. So why is someone fear of death? Because he has not sent something for his other life. Because he fears that if I go there, I will not face better life than which I have now. So because of this fear, the fear of death, they have fear of death. But if you know that you have sent better things, if you know that Allah has kept beautiful life for you there, and just pay attention all His blessings and mercies, surely death cannot give you any fear. But other fears, fear of career, fear of future, how I can control these fears? Through relying on Allah, tawakkul ala Allah. He is your master. He loves you. He takes care of you. And He has taken care of you when you were nothing. You could not do anything. And a beautiful sentence, a tradition from one of the Masumin, he said, He took care of you when you were very small, nothing, not able to think even about yourself. He gave you two humans who could lay their life, who could spend their life for you, and who could put their life in danger for your security and for your luxuries, for your safety. Those were your parents. So you could not do anything without them. But Allah managed this thing. He brought two grown-up humans for you. They love you when you could not give them anything except a pain. But they love you. And in fact, there was no expectation at that time. How one can expect from a person who is nothing now? And even if he could do anything, he or she could do anything, they have to wait for 20 more years. But they did that, and that was the management, that was the system created by Allah for us. So He took care of me when I was nothing, when I was only a need. Will He leave me now? Will not He come to help me? And He has all the powers, and He has everything. Now, someone may say that I have seen a lot of people relying on Allah, and Allah has not helped them. So, don't we think that He loves us, and He has the power? If He has given us some pain, there should be some reason for this pain. Can we say that He has abandoned His love for us when there is no change in His existence? Fitratullah allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha la tabdila li khalqillah. He said, I have created you on the nature and you will not find any change in the nature. Allah has never broken any of His promises. لا يخلف الله وعده. He is always on His promises, and He has promised us that He will protect us. So, if you keep all these things, attributes of Allah, Qadir, Aleem, Rahim, Rahman, and Merciful, and if you remember those verses of the Holy Quran, لا يؤذو حفظهما. If He take care of this heaven and earth, it never gives Him any sort of fatigue. He is not tired of these things. لا سنة ولا نوم. He never sleeps, and He never, you see, become unaware of anything happening to you. So why should you worry? Only thing which remains here, that I make mistake, and I do fear that Allah might be getting angry with me, and this is what gives me a fear, that I might be left abandoned because I have done some mistakes. Now again, to solve this problem, He has given us the door of forgiveness. He said, come to me and I will forgive you. Ya Sari al-Raba. He is always happy. And there's a beautiful sentence. Someone said that if Allah becomes Radhi, He is happy. It is easy. We don't become Radhi. We are not happy with Allah. He becomes happy very quickly. So if a person has done a lot of sin and he just sincerely called Him that I want to get Your love again, and though I was away and I was doing some mistake, but I am now close to You, He accepts and the doors are open. But we are not happy with Allah, always saying something. Why this thing happened? Why that thing happened? Always complaining something. So if you become Razi with Allah, He is always Razi. So nothing left. And this was the true meaning of رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنهم. And why the Holy Word said رضي الله عنهم, Allah became happy with them, and ورضوا عنهم, and they also became happy, because we become happy, it is much difficult. Allah always become happy. So with these concepts in mind, that Allah is taking care and Allah will protect us, you can have a beautiful life. You can rely on Allah, and always remember of the good time to come. Though we have a very tough time these days, surely you see a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties and miseries for people. But this is a system. This is very strange that in Ziyarat Ashura, you see, on three occasions, the Ziyara mentioned the days of Imam Mahdi to come. Sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa alaihi Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
On three occasions it says that someone from his chain will come and as the tradition said, يَمْلَوُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْتًا وَعَدَّى كَمَا مُلِعَ الظُّلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. And He will fill the earth with His justice as it would have been filled with injustice before Him. So this is a system. The Holy Prophet, all the Prophets, and then Ma'asumin alayhi salam, they lived their life, they struggled, they fought, and all these things are moving towards a certain direction which was promised by Holy Prophet. I cannot count those traditions, but someone did that roughly, and they said there are hundreds of traditions explaining a single concept. A beautiful day is going to come. A good time is going to come. And what is that good time? All justice, all purity. You will see in this earth. So, if we pay attention to all the fundamentals, how they became so good that they became companions of Imam, you can get the real rule how we can be good to become companion of the coming Imam. They controlled themselves. They took the right decisions, and there were advantages. There were some good habits in those people. For example, in case of Hazrat Hud, he was loving, and he was giving great respect to Bibi Sayyidah Salamullah Alaiha. And that respect to through Bibi Sayyidah Sanamullah Alayha saved his life. So this is one of the way you respect them, and you always pay attention to this, to these great personalities. In case of Zuhair bin Qain, as I mentioned, four things which can change your life to a very good life: Badran Salih, Badran Sabira, Lisanan Dakira, Qalban Shakira, Uzawdatan Salih. He said, but your body should be tolerant body. You can tolerate the hardships. You always remember Allah, and your heart should be thankful to Allah, and your life partner should be a solid person. So in case of Hazrat Zuhair, what saved him from that critical time, his wife actually, and she advised him to go and to help Imam. And when he explained that, I cannot go because I fear of you being in hardship, she said, I will face all those troubles because sister of Imam sanguine. And this changed this whole scenario for Hazrat Zuhair. So the positive sides, the positive elements in case of Hazrat Hur, respect to Bibi Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In case of Hazrat Zuhair, a good partner, a good life partner. In case of others, brave, being fearless. So they were in a trouble, but they were fearless. And this habit of being fearless, this habit of looking at death with their eyes in right contact, this saved their life. They took the right decision. But if they had fear of death, okay, what will happen if I die? Just like that person who offered Imam Hussain that I will give you a horse and I will give you a soul, I could not face death. So he escaped from that battle. So I think what I wanted to do in these lectures, I just wanted to give some points. And if you pay attention on, I think you're already paying attention, it was just a reminder. If you pay more attention on those points, what points they could act and they could change their life, then it will be very easy for us to change our life. Especially, just as I said, Inna al-Husayn Misbahul Huda wa Safinatul Najat. I strongly believe that if someone has a love for Imam Hussain and a respect for him, this tradition of Holy Prophet is a confirmed tradition. So it is very solid in its narration, its chain of narrators, and in the words of this tradition. It is very solid. All sects of Islam do believe in it. Inna al-Husayn Misbahul Huda wa Safinatul Najat. He is the light of guidance and a boat for safety. So if you have love of Imam Hussain, and you call this love to save you, why it should not help you? It will help you, and you can save yourself. And with these patterns, with these small patterns, control, and as I said, always trying to develop yourself. One more thing which I could understand here, I do think that two elements can give us very, very quick results, what I could understand from my experience. First one is respect to Ahlul Bayt, it gives a quick result. And second one is helping others with sincerity. Try to help someone. It may be financial, it may not be financial, it may be just by words, it may be just by your heart, it may be just by your prayer. So you raise your hand and you pray for someone. Very sincerely. So, I think these two issues can bring you tawfiqat, can pave the way for more and more development. Respect to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam and helping others in their needs. A sincere prayer from someone can change your life all of a sudden. And this can happen with you, with everyone and everywhere. So you are not far from anywhere. Some might think that, okay, as in Pakistan people do think when we tell them about events in Karbala and events in Iraq, Najaf and Iran, so they think that there might be something, always these things happens in Iraq and Iran and in Middle East. And is Pakistan away from these issues? So someone might think that is Europe away from those issues? It should be very close. If you move in the right direction, a lot of these things can happen to you too. So just you need to show your struggle. You need to do something. And but I could understand in every person's life there is a fluctuation of spirituality. It sometimes goes up and sometimes goes down. Going up is easy. Coming down and giving it a break is very hard. So sometimes you feel yourself getting attraction and feeling attraction for prayers, for you see, good type of life. But sometimes all of a sudden it changes. And you want to pray, you can't pray. You want to read only Quran, for example, you can't read. You have no interest in these things. This is the toughest time. How to solve this? If any time this comes to you, first of all, what I could understand, first of all, give yourself a break. Start thinking about yourself. How it happened? There should be a mistake. There should be a mistake. I might have done something which was not good actually. It may be unintentionally, it may be intentionally. So just give yourself a break. Go and review your life, where it started turning back. And most probably you will catch the event. You will see, okay, this was the turning point where I felt that something wrong has happened. Then, first of all, give yourself a break and have a review of your life. Secondly, ask Allah to forgive you. And third, do something good to compensate that. You see, minus development, you see, going down. So, with these three steps, very simple, give yourself a break and review, and ask forgiveness from Allah, and then do something good to compensate. I think you can change the pattern of going down and giving you frustration. These days are beautiful days. Though with all those hardships, with all those troubles, but a lot of signs we can see, a lot of good news we can hear from a lot of people, good people. Sayyid Duha is not here, and he had requested me to say something about the appearance of Imam Mahdi Salamullah alayhi sallu ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
This question of appearance of Imam, or reappearance of Imam better, it is always an attractive question for many. How close it should be, they always ask. And I say, okay, I cannot say how close it should be, but I can say that you see a lot of good news here, which is telling us, okay, something's going to happen. One of the beautiful things that people getting frustrated of this system of batil, system of injustice, people getting awareness. Now you go back to 30 years and 40 years might be, at least for 30 years back, there were not too many people who were aware of the system of injustice in this world. And alhamdulillah, last 30 years were beautiful years. Though with all those troubles, with all those problems in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Pakistan, unfortunately, everywhere. But again, this was a very good time. People getting awareness. They are getting the point. Okay, this is injustice. And they are getting a sort of inspiration from each other. They are getting inspiration. So they are moving on the right direction. And at that time, I just reminds a tradition, a verse of the Holy Quran. إن تتولوا يستبدل قوما غيركم ثم لا يكون أمثالكم. And if you turn your back, we will bring another nation which will be much better than you. So this is very good time if you move ahead. Take the responsibility and do the right thing. And unfortunately, not a good time for being lazy, not a good time for being ignorant, because the Holy Verse said, "In tatawalla, if you turn your back, we will bring another nation." استبدل قوما غيركم ثم لا يكون أمثالكم. Then they will give better results. So, if you see something good you can do, don't turn back, because if we don't do this, don't think it will remain forever. Someone will come, and they will do the job. So Allah has not made any promise with any nation to keep them high. Anyone who come there, who could jump in and took the banner of Islam, they will be high. Kalimatullah, hail uliya. The words of Allah are high. No one has any, eternal promise from Allah that I will keep you high. Look at Bani Israel. They were the selected ones for Allah. At a certain time, the Holy Verses said, we bless them, we choose them, we send them. And then, at a point, the Holy Quran says, ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الدِّلَّةُ وَالْمَثْكَمُ. The being inferior is their fate. They will be inferior. They will face the disgrace. And up to the Yawm al-Qiyamah, said they will remain in this disgrace. So how this thing can happen? For individuals going up, coming down. And for nations, from that high status to that disgrace position, because of disobeying of Allah, because of disrespect to commands of Allah. So we have a challenge in our life. We have a very good challenge. You know Imam Hussain. You can learn from him. You know the story. You know the characters. You know the qualities. And you know how to follow them. You know everything. Now these days, I think the question is not getting more knowledge, because we already have too much of knowledge. These days the question is, when will we practice our knowledge? Because we know a lot of things. I do think that if someone is brought up in a family, Muslim family, he knows a lot of things. And if someone tries to get knowledge, there is internet, there are books, there are people around us, okay, you can get a lot of knowledge. But these days, it is not a question of where can I get knowledge from. It is a question, when will I act upon? So, this is your time. You can act and you will be blessed. Just, you see the change in the last 30 years. How great, and you are from Lebanon, you can feel it, I think. How everything changed in 30 years. Where it was and where we are now. Alhamdulillah, the battle is going on. You can choose your character. I have already repeated this sentence, that you have many characters in the battle of Karbala. Choose the right character for you. Which character would you want to be? Would you like to be Zuhair bin Qain? I don't mention those very high characters. Sayyid al-Shuhada, Hazrat Abbas, Hazrat Ali Akbar, Hazrat Qasim, these were very high characters. But those who are looking to be, okay, a bit lower, and for a person like me, better talk about Hazrat John, the slave of Imam Hussain. It is a very beautiful character. He was a slave. How he could purify himself? And the wonderful prayer which Imam Hussain prayed for him when he came to his last moments, and he put his head on his lap, and he said, "Oh Allah, give him whiteness in his face, and give him a very good smell in his body," because he was looking for these two. He said, "I am black, and I have a smell in my body which people don't like. So you might not wish me to be in the companions, list of companions." Then when he fell down, and Imam Hussain came to him close to his death, he opened his eyes and he said that Imam Hussain is so close to me. He smiled, and when he died, there was a smile on his face. Then Imam raised his hand and he prayed for these two things. And it is narrated that Bani Asaf, those who were responsible for their coffins after the army of Yazid left the Battle of Karbala. This is also one of the wonderful sites of Karbala, how Imam Hussain gave the responsibility of coffins to Bani Asad. So the tribe of Bani Asad came there and they saw a dead body which is very white in nature, Nur Mas. And it was showing the light and giving a very beautiful, very attractive smell. And at that time, fourth Imam, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, with the miracle came here, yes, to bury the dead bodies. It is said, Imam came there and many said, asked him, what is the issue with this dead body? Why it is so bright and why it is giving so much of a smell? He said, because of my father prayed for him and his prayers are accepted. So this person has been granted. So you have different characters. You can choose a character. You can move ahead with these characters, and give respect to all those involved in this battle. And how can we do this without mentioning the great lady, sister of Imam Hussain, Hazrat Zainab Salamullah Alayha? Can human give any example for such a character as being a woman, sensitive and emotional in her nature, how she could overcome all those hardships, and might be the toughest one when she was on that height looking at her brother being killed. And you see, if you have gone to Karbala, you can see the spot where Hazrat Zainab was looking at his brother Talha Zainabiyya. It is very close to the grave of Imam Hussain. And she guided the whole caravan, the whole leadership was on her shoulders. And how she could control herself, and she could lead the caravan, or she could lead all those prisoners, always trying to cool down everyone and not thinking about her own self. And during that journey, that suffering of that journey from Karbala to Kufa and then from Kufa to Syria, the fourth Imam narrated a tradition. He said, I never saw her not praying Namaz Shab in all her journeys. Should be something very heavenly that a person in such tough time and with those hardships which we cannot mention even, and she was praying too much for Allah. So all these in front of us. Regarding Namaz Shab, though it may not be our habit to pray it all the nights, but you may choose once in a week, you may choose once in a month, or at least some part of Namaz Shab. For example, the last three rak'ah of Namaz Isha. And if you could not get up early, you can pray it in Qaza after that time. So somehow it can change your life. Ziyarat Ashura is important, Namaz Isha is important, and inshallah Allah will help us. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We finished our discussion, and I think I should accept this. This may not be worthy of taking your time, but okay. With all this weakness, we try to mention the logic. And if you have anything to share, any question or any point you wish to share with others, then please come forward, explain it.
regarding the issue of the Dajjal Antichrist. Is this an issue is this believed by all Muslims?
Which issue?
The Dajjal, the Antichrist.
Okay.
And the arrival of the Imam Mahdi alayhi
salam. Yeah, yeah. Yes, the issue of Dajjal, someone Antichrist coming to earth, yes, it is accepted by every sect of Islam. But there are certain questions regarding Dajjal. The main questions are, when will he come? When will he appear? Is it before Jesus or is it after Jesus? After the arrival of Jesus. And you see, in Islamic tradition, Jesus Christ will come, or Hazrat Isa will appear after the appearance of Imam Mahdi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to traditions of Islam, Islamic traditions, first Imam Mahdi will appear sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will move from Makkah to Medina, and from Medina to different cities. Then he will go to Kufa. He will fight during those days, and from Kufa he will march towards Bayt al-Muqaddas. And then when he reaches Quds, here Jesus will appear, that Isa will appear, and he will pray behind him. And at that time they say Dajjal will appear. According to one of the traditions, Dajjal will come at the end of all these changes and developments. But then again, we have a tradition that Dajjal is, every nation has its own Dajjal. And the Dajjal that will appear, or Antichrist that will appear at the end of those events, will be the biggest one of all those Dajjal who are appearing in all the nations. Thinking about Dajjal, one eye in the middle, lots of powers, can turn green into, you see, waste, and can waste into green, and can destroy everything, can give life to deaths, and can kill so many people. If you collect all these traditions, at least some of the scholars says that this is not about a certain existence, a physical, material existence. They say that it is about ideology, rather. They say that the Dajjal is not a person to come. Especially if you pay attention to those traditions which say that Dajjal will be in every nation, and at the end of the events, the biggest one will appear. So they say that the Dajjal may not be a personality, but the Dajjal may not be a human. The Dajjal might be an ideology which was there, and that ideology of, you may say, wrong or evil, that evil ideology would promote itself every time. And at the end of the events, it will be on the height and peak of its evil nature. So, if you accept this concept that the Dajjal may not be a personality, because you see, if the signs of the Dajjal, it says it will have one eye. I was thinking once that if the Dajjal was really someone with one eye, which is very, very exceptional in humans, then will there be any mad who could not recognize the Dajjal and will be befooled by the Dajjal? Is it possible, really? That, okay, we have 6 billion people, all of them have two eyes, and all of a sudden a person appears which has only single eye, the strange thing, and then he tries to befool people, and people become befooled. So, with this exceptional feature, cannot be recognized that he is the Dajjal. So, we have two points. First one is to think about people as really mad, they be fooled by something which is so obvious. And the second thing might not be a personality, the Dajjal. Might be an ideology. And regarding ideologies, what is the meaning of having one eye? They said, okay, this is very clear. Looking at one world, this is this world, not hereafter. Looking at one aspect of humanity, which is body, not soul. And looking at one aspect of existence, this is inferior existence, not the superior existence of Allah. So, you see, it looks that the Dajjal is an ideology, and an ideology which has one eye, and it has lots of power. And then, when you talk about power, and look at the traditions which narrate the power of the Dajjal, then you can easily call it, yes, this can happen. Not in a single person, but in a system of evil. It can happen, yes. They can turn waste into green, green into waste. They can kill a lot of people. They can make a city very well flourishing and then all of a sudden destroy. And unfortunately, we saw these examples. And when Kuwait was invaded, it was very very clear in our mind, this might be a Dajjal. They invaded Kuwait, they destroyed it, and they rebuilt it in months, and it was again flourishing. So every nation they try to defeat, they can defeat. They can turn the green into waste, they can turn the green into nothing. And then if they try to do something, they can bring they can harvest deserts, and there will be, you see, crops and everything. So at least I do accept this notion of the Dajjal being ideology, not a personality.
Because people often speak about secret societies, often called Illuminati or Freemasons, and one of their symbols is one eye, the one eyed on dollar bills and so on.
Yeah.
So if you say it's if you see it as a ideology, you might have one of
these secret societies.
Mm.
Yeah. You are quite right. I had the chance of looking some of the, you see, literature regarding these secret societies. Regarding these secret societies, what I could understand, they change their skin very, very quickly. They change their name. They leave the other name, just like a snake. It changes skin, and he leaves the skin, the previous skin somewhere, and then he goes ahead. And after some time, then again changes his skin and he get new skin. So I think they do the same thing. They hide themselves in a skin, and then they feel that, okay, now more than enough people talking about this skin, so they leave it somewhere and they move into another skin, and they let people, okay, beat that skin. And they are beating in their literature and talking too much, and then documentaries and this and that, and they also promote it. Or talk about Freemason. Now, you see, if you go through the history of Freemasonry, they were established in hundreds of years back, at least around 400 years back. They say about just before the French Revolution. And then they had a role to play. And then all of a sudden, you see, now they are very open. They have Freemason lodges and the Freemason symbols and everything. So if you beat them, they say, okay, just let them beat it. Because they've changed their skin. They move somewhere else, might be. And then you got the, you see, so you got some documentaries and something about the group, the Illuminati group, or Skull and Bones, Skull and Bones, and then there was another group.
Luciferians.
Yeah.
Luciferians.
Yes, yeah, Luciferians, and then there were another, which was a Bilderberg group.
The
Bilderberg group, yes. So many secret societies. And the general rule which I think is, it is not now, it is not important for me to look at the symbol or to look at the names. It is important for me to look at their characters, what they are doing. So the whole system of cruelty and the whole system of just injustice is playing their game with different names.
Mm.
So now I think it is not important what is their name. Their game is important. They're playing their game. And they might change their country too. Just as in case of England, you can easily see. It was England whom they are riding on before First World War. And after First World War, they changed the country towards America. They moved their strength towards America. And they took a ride on American people for the last 60, 70 years. And they might change the ride now. So where will they go? I don't know, your place or somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you mean that the Dajjal is a system, right?
I think, yeah.
But could it be the system should have power, right?
Yeah.
And the banking system is led by
Allah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, we can say Dajjal, if Dajjal is a system, that system should have many branches. So, for example, if a system is going to implement itself, if it is going to implement, then it should have, it might have financial power, it might have cultural power, it might have literal power. So, different pieces can come together to form a system. We cannot say that, okay, this banking is actually the evil system or the Dajjal. It may be one of their parts. And the changes, I tell you, as I could, this is my opinion only, they change their face very quickly. They change it very quickly. So, before you could grasp that one, they will change it and go in somewhere else. So, but you're right, banking system is one of the symbols of this evil nature of system.
Yeah, because the power is actually the payers.
Yes.
Not in the power,
the phenomenal power they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you go through the history of banks, there was a documentary, a big documentary. It was around 2.5 hours, I think. Something it was, I forgot the title, regarding banks, history of banks. It was a wonderful documentary. Though the technique of film was not good, but then. Explained the banking system of the of this world,
and how it takes power away,
yeah,
from
how deep power,
right?
How they befool people,
yeah.
And then it concentrated on the Federal Reserve System. Federal Reserve, I guess, not very obvious. You go through those documentaries, and you can see how they generated the power for themselves after 1913. They made new regulations to Senate and Parliament of America. And they got new powers. So people might say that, okay, this evil system, at least in my opinion, they can say evil system has many parts. One of them is financial system, and one of the backbones of financial system is banking system, and one of the backbone of international banking system is Federal Reserve. So they are.
You say as well, the American Federal Bank doesn't. Is that who decides to print the bills, not the American government?
Yeah,
so
of
the
course.
Power is,
yeah,
of course, in the bank, not in the government.
Yeah. Now, you see, for example, different countries have trillions of dollars in their assets. And if in case of, you see, China, they have many $100 billion in their assets in the shape of dollar. So if they change the value of dollar to 10%, China loses 10% of its, you see, assets. So this is a big shock for them, and this explains the nature of currencies and the nature of next conflict we can see. And this recession was somehow shocking for everyone, but you can read about it, you know, about this recession. There was a book, The Great Depression of 1990, written by Ravi Batra. It was a great book. It was written in 1986. And it was talking about a recession in 1990, and it explained that in 2010, around 2010, a recession will come, which you will never see example of it. And they are again talking about the, double dip recession, and a recession might come back again. So this is very good time, just to see what's happening here and how they are playing with their game. But I have a feeling. In the earlier times, they could convert their mistakes even in good policies. But nowadays, all their policies are becoming mistakes. I have a feeling that in earlier time, they used to make mistakes, but they could rectify their mistakes very quickly, and they could change it into advantage. But nowadays, whatever they do, they are failed. They are doomed. Whatever they try, the stimulus packages at the time of Bush, last time of Bush, last year, then Obama gave a stimulus package, then again Federal Reserve gave a stimulus package, and then England gave that, or Europe and Japan also. But none of those stimulus packages could do anything for this financial corruption. And I think it's not a good time for them. They are on their grave now.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
normally this type of intervention bring food.